Let's pray one more time as God prepare our hearts. Father, once again, we thank you for our mothers. We thank you for our friends today and the time to fellowship, even our new friends that are joining us. Lord, we thank you for the family that we have in you. And Lord, we ask now that you would prepare our hearts for your word. We ask that it would go forth and touch us and help us, Lord, grow in you. Today can be a tough study in a lot of ways, as John's been really impressing on us to love one another. And it's a hard thing to do sometimes. But I pray you would help us by your Spirit as we look to your Scriptures. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, 1 John, we're hopefully going to finish off the chapter today. And it starts off, as we left off, here in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Now, if you've been with us, over and over again, the Apostle John has been reminding us to love one another. Now, let's take a moment to review some of these exhortations to us today. Notice, chapter 2, he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Chapter 3, in this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? And finally, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and what? Love one another as he gave us commandment. So, is John being somewhat redundant here? Why is he continually reminding us over and over to love one another? Wow. I believe it's because God knows we all have short-term memory loss in regards to the things that we don't want to do, right? Those things are easy to forget, the things we don't want to do. So, especially, like loving one another. This is one that we tend to want to forget. So John continually reminds us. And most of us, honestly, if we're being honest, don't really want the J-O-Y. We want joy, but not in this pattern of Jesus first and others and then ourselves last. But in actuality, in our sinful nature, that is, it's kind of like this. We want to be selfish and demanding, right? Ego day, sorry. Which will always leave us S-A-D, sad. Shabon, shabon. Now, let me remind you. In English, the word love is applied to anything and everything, right? If you know English. I love pizza. Who loves pizza? Yeah. I love my cat. That was me when I was 10 years old. Oh, Jess, you're kidding. Amy won't let me have a cat. Please pray for her. I love video games. I love my friends. I love Pastor Dan. I love my family. Right? Of course I love Amy. I love God. Now, there's no distinction, I should say, but the Apostle John is using a specific word here in the Greek language that we translate into love in English, and I in Nihongo. Many of you know this word in Greek. It's the word agape, right? And so we've talked about this, but let's dig a little deeper for those of you who are joining us. What exactly is agape, and how is it different from other types of love? First of all, the essence of agape love is self-sacrificing love. Okay? Unlike our English word love, or I in Nihongo, agape is not used in the Bible to refer to romantic or sexual love. Nor does it refer to close friendships or brotherly love. Agape love is unique and is distinguished by its nature and character. Agape is from God, whose very nature is love itself. Notice in verse 8 as we continue 1 John, he who does not love does not know God, for what? God is love. You see? God does not merely agape us. He is agape. Okay? Everything God does flows from His love. God loves because that is His nature and the expression of His being. Now, He loves the unlovable and the unlovely. That's us. Right? Not because we deserve to be loved, but because it is His nature to do so. And He must be true to His nature and character. 1 John 4:9, as we continue. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Now, don't miss this important phrase. That we might live through Him. Through Him. Agape does not come natural to us as humans. Because of our fallen nature, we are incapable of producing such a love. Now, if we are to love as God loves, that agape, can only come by living through Him, you see, the source of agape love. When we receive Jesus by faith, we are filled with His Spirit, and His Spirit, by His Spirit, we are able to produce that agape love, which is the first fruit of the Spirit, right? Galatians 5:22. Only God can generate within us this kind of self-sacrificing love, which is the proof that we are His children. In 1 John 4:10, as we continue, in this love, this agape love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. We didn't do anything to deserve God's love. He loved us long before we ever even knew Him. Now, look at Romans for us. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us, you see, when we were at our worst. When we were at our worst. Ephesians 2:1, and you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. He rescued us with His love. A love that we don't deserve. Paid for on the cross of Calvary, right? 1 John 3:16, by this we have known the agape love of God. Because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. In the same way that God loves us, we are to love others, you see. Now, Ephesians 5:1 says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. What is stopping us from loving one another? Have we been hurt? I understand. When I was 21 years old, long before Amy, I had fallen in love with a girl. I thought it was love. Yet this girl, she lied to me. She cheated on me over and over again. She broke my heart to the point that I was afraid to ever love again. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Just me? Oh, two, three. I think there's a lot of liars here tonight. Lord, have mercy on them. Father, no. I think all of us, one way or the other, have had our heart broken by someone. If not, man, you're blessed. But when I was 27 years old, I became a Christian. And one day, I was thinking of this old girlfriend, and I was reminded of the pain and the heartache that I had felt way back when. And I prayed, and I asked the Lord, why, Lord? Why did I go through that? Why? What was it all about? I didn't know. And then the Lord, he spoke to me, and I'll never forget this, and I hope it helps you today. But he asked me, and he said, do you remember what it felt like when she lied to you? Oh, yes, Lord. I remember, Lord. It hurt. Do you remember what it felt like when she cheated on you? Yes, Lord. It broke my heart, right? Do you remember what it felt like when she didn't want to be with you anymore or spend time with you? Yes, Lord, I remember. It hurt so, so much. And then he said to me, that is how I feel when you do those things to me. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Every one of us have broken the Lord's heart. Every one of us have grieved the Holy Spirit. I have failed so many times. I have failed so many times. Yet God continues to love me. He continues to forgive me. This is agape. This is the agape love of God. We break his heart, but yet he still forgives us. Now, knowing this, how could I withhold the love of God that has been poured into my heart to anyone? It's not my love. It's God's love, you see. John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Is there someone today that you are having trouble loving, forgiving? Ask the Lord to remind you of your own sin, of your own shame, to allow you to see yourself as you really are. In light of his grace and his love towards us, how can we justify withholding God's love from anyone? 1 John 4:12, as we continue, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. When we love one another, God's love is manifested, you see. I could experience the love of God, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, personally, physically, tangibly, when it's manifested through the lives of those whom God is abiding in. He pours into our heart His love, and it should overflow to everyone around us. And when we show the love of God to others, God's love is perfected in us. You see? Matthew 5:48, therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. How are we to be perfect? How are we to do this? Is there anybody perfect here today? Anybody perfect? Right. Only Jesus, and He's here today. But it's by loving one another, you see. The way we are to do this is by loving one another, and that's how we are perfected in His love. 1 John 4:13, but this we know, that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. How do we know we have His Spirit? Well, what's the fruit of the Spirit? Is it not agape love? We will be able to measure the love of God in our lives by the measure that we have for others. Are you full of the Holy Spirit? You will know where you're at by how much we love one another. I have no problem loving Amy. That's very easy to me, to love Amy. Very easy. But what about others? Matthew 5:44, but I, Jesus said this, say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Whoa. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? So in other words, even if the most despised people in society, which the tax collectors were at that time, even if the most despised people in society love one another and greet one another, we're no better than they are, you see. And our love is no greater than theirs. So, in 1 John 4:14, if we have seen and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as a Savior of the world. So, let's continue. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. See, this term, we talked about a little bit last time, but it was a few weeks ago, so a little way of reminder. Jesus is the Son of God. It has caused much confusion, right? Because of the physical understanding that we understand of a father and son relationship. But we need to understand something about God. God is spirit. Okay? And those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So God is spirit. So understand that Jesus is not God's son in the sense of a human father and son relationship. God did not get married and have a son the way we do. God did not mate with Mary and produce a son like some Greek mythology thing or something. Okay? Jesus is God's son in the sense that He is made manifest in human form, and we know that. John 1:1, 14, He came in the flesh. Jesus, God's Son, in that He was conceived in Mary by the Holy Spirit. Notice the account in Luke. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." The Holy One. During Jesus' trial before the Jewish leaders, the high priest interrogated Jesus and demanded an answer to this question. "I put you under oath, Jesus, by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Catch this connection. The Christ and the Son of God. Onaji. The same. You see? Not different. Not the Christ or the Son of God. But the Christ and the Son of God. We learned about what the word Christ meant last time. Right? And Jesus said to him, "It is as you said." And as we've learned before, we're talking about the Da Vinci Code and all that. Remember that? This confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, 100% man, 100% God, is essential to having a proper loving relationship with Him. Okay? So, as we continue. "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because he, as he is, so are we in this world." And verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love." Something miraculous happens when we become children of God. We not only are given the eternal promises of heaven through His Word, but we are also given temporal promises here on this earth. What do you mean, Joseph? Well, I mean this. As a child of God, we know that He won't allow anything to happen to us or to take place in our lives which doesn't serve His good and perfect purpose, you see. That means that if I am abiding in Him and trusting in Him, I will therefore have nothing to fear. When do I, or we, begin to fear? Is it not when we doubt? Is it not when we doubt? But when we are confident, you see, when we trust, that is when we have no fear. It is only when we doubt that we fear. And that fear will soon settle in when we start to doubt. When we forsake the loving assurance of the Lord and begin to trust in our own wisdom or that of others, know this and catch this verse that's coming up. This is what's going to happen to us. "Your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night and have no assurance of life." This is the result of doubting God's love for you. James said it like this. He said, "If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." You see? That's our lives when we doubt. Doubt or unbelief will manifest itself in stress, in anxiety, in fear, et cetera, et cetera. It'll keep going. Now, being Mother's Day today, I think with me of the love of a mother for her child. Will she not lay down her life to protect her child without any hesitation, without any doubt, without any fear? Right? We see that in nature. The mother, the protecting instinct that's within. No fear, no doubt. I gotta do what I gotta do. In that moment, when she senses danger, the perfect love that she has for her baby casts out all fear. Right? Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. Perfect love casts out fear. You see? There's no fear in perfect love. When we are secure in God's love, we will have nothing to fear. But the opposite's also true. When we are insecure in God's love, we will fear. We will doubt. We will stress. It'll affect us. So the key to overcoming fear isn't, as we are often taught, face your fear, right? Face your fear. No. The answers become immersed in God's love for you. Knowing that when we place our lives in the hands of Almighty God, nothing can happen to us unless He allows it. And if He allows it, then the Scriptures tell us that it'll all work out for good. Romans 8:28. If we forget this, fear will begin to come in like a flood. Now, I don't want to downplay fear. We all know that it's a very real thing. And it's very difficult to face. Understand that. But herein lies the key to overcoming those fears. You see, when you start to worry or doubt or fear, be reminded of the Word of God. Be reminded of what God's Word is telling you. And let it help give you peace in those times. Remember God's perfect love for you and for me that was demonstrated on the cross of Calvary. And that 3 days later, Christ was risen. He's risen indeed. Easter, right? If He conquered death, if He conquered the grave, how much more is He able to conquer your fear, your doubts? He's almighty, you see. Give Him your life and trust Him with it. And let the peace of God fill your hearts today. As we continue, 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Just when you thought that John was finally finished with this whole love thing, here he goes again. Why? Because some of you are trying to forget about it, right? And He's not going to let us forget it. He's going to come back again and give it to us again. Because some of us are already forgetting about what He already told us. Because we don't want to love. Somewhere down the line, the church got this idea that we needed to be tactful and very sensitive. Being sure that we don't offend anybody, right? Well, they confuse sometimes meekness with weakness and gentleness with total abstinence. I don't want to offend, so I'm just not going to say anything. That's not the Bible, folks. Listen, the Bible tells us to speak the truth in love, right? Speak the truth in love. But understand something. Truth sometimes hurts. And that's why we don't want to say it. But we must. Open rebuke, Proverbs tells us, is better than love carefully concealed. And faithful are the wounds of a friend, but kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You see? Here, John, because he loves us, because of love, you see, he speaks the truth. And this truth may hurt a little bit. But he says, once again, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? If you say you love God and hate your brother, the word of God, not me, I'm not, the word of God says you're a liar. Oh, this is what we call tough love. Tough love. And Jesus knew it would be tough, especially when someone sins against you. Now, he gave us instructions that I wish more Christians in the church, and even myself, would adhere to when someone sins against us. Notice here, Matthew 18:15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and the pastor. Oh, wait, it doesn't say that. Between you and your friend. Oh no, it doesn't say that either, does it? Between you and him alone. How many of us do that? Truth hurts, right? This is hurt time. Because this is what Jesus told us to do. But hardly any of us do it. Myself included, I'm guilty too. So, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. You see the heart of it? It's to gain, not to divide. To love and unite, not to divide. This is the heart that God wants us to have. Now, if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. These are instructions that we are to do. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. Then come to the pastors, to the elders, you see? But even if he refuses to hear from the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector, okay? These are the instructions of Jesus for when somebody sins against us. Okay? Now, even if you did everything Jesus said to do, and they still refuse to be reconciled in love, and even, which doesn't happen very often, if church discipline is invoked, it's to the point of disfellowship. Okay? Very rare. But it has happened. It doesn't mean that we are free to hate and harbor unforgiveness in our hearts towards that person. The hardness is upon them, you see. You have done everything you could to be reconciled in love. Even if they refuse to apologize for hurting us, for sinning against us, we are to forgive. For Jesus said this. He says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Yikes. These are tough verses. Tough love we're talking today. Verses that one might question. Is this a matter of works? Does God's forgiveness to me depend on my forgiveness for others? And if so, is forgiveness dependent upon works? If I want to be forgiven, do I even have the choice not to forgive? Good question. And here lies a troublesome theological problem for us today. Remember when we learned about God's grace and our responsibility? Some of you remember that. But a troublesome theological problem for us. I believe that it's very vital that we understand the importance of forgiveness. We are to forgive. Not as a matter of mathematics, as Peter thought when he said, "Oh Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. Up to 7 times, Lord? Should I forgive?" And I'm sure Peter thought that he was growing in grace when he said 7 times, right? That's a long time to forgive somebody for the same thing over and over. He was probably very proud of the fact that he can actually conceive of forgiving that same person 7 times for the same thing, right? But Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. I can imagine Peter's face. Oh my gosh. 490 times. Forgiveness is not a matter of mathematics, but rather a choice that is empowered by the Holy Spirit, you see. Jesus, over and over again, he emphasized the fact that since we have been forgiven so much, who are we to hold debt or grudge against anyone? And if we had time, we'd go over parable after parable to talk about it. In Matthew 6:14, once again, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." I have no intention of modifying the statements of Jesus Christ here today. But I do intend to follow them and to forgive just like he said, whether I feel like it or not. But I must admit that it is against my nature, because my nature wants to get even, right? We want revenge. But Jesus loves us, and he knows how important it is that we forgive and not let ourselves hold anger and bitterness within us. It's for our own good to forgive. And it's a shame that so many people have destroyed themselves mentally and physically and spiritually by harboring unforgiveness throughout their lives. If being forgiven isn't motivation enough for you to forgive, well, perhaps you just need to do it out of mere obedience, whether you like it or not. But Joseph, if I just forgive because Jesus said to, isn't that being a hypocrite? I know that question is coming up, so I anticipated it. In your flesh? Absolutely. Every one of us are hypocrites when we pretend to love somebody that we don't. But in your spirit? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. As the prophet Samuel said, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." Understand that obedience in the Spirit always, always, always supersedes the feelings of our flesh. Always. Thus, you may be feeling like a hypocrite, but in reality, you're being obedient to God. But would you rather be obedient to God or feel like a hypocrite? Joseph, I don't feel like forgiving them. It doesn't matter what you're feeling, folks. Forgiveness is a decision we make. Let God help you with your feelings, you see? You simply need to obey the Lord. Trust in His Word and let Him help you with the rest. Make a decision and say, I choose to forgive them. I'm not going to bring it up. I'm not going to talk about it to others. I'm not going to dwell on it and let it affect me anymore. Make the choice and move on. There are people that are talking about people that have hurt them years ago, and it's still affecting them. Listen, Jesus isn't asking us to do anything that He Himself has not done. What did He pray on the cross in regards to those who persecuted Him, who spit on Him, who pulled His beard out, who beat Him and mocked Him and crucified Him? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Well, I know you're thinking this. That was easy for Jesus to say. He's God. Right? Chotto matte. Hold on a second. Not so fast. Stephen, the first martyr for Christ, prayed the same thing for his persecutors as he was being stoned to death. Father, do not hold this sin against them. Acts 7:20. You see, it's not impossible. Jesus would never ask us to do anything that He Himself will not help us do. He's going to help us if we let Him. Jesus isn't saying to forgive for their sake, per se. But He's saying to forgive for our own sake. That bitterness will destroy you. For your own sake, folks. You need to let it go. If you're angry with someone today, choose to remove that bitterness from your heart. Choose to pray right now as the Lord taught us to pray. He said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In our last verse here, and this commandment we have from Him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Joseph, this isn't a very happy Mother's Day message today, is it? Go man aside. But perhaps there's someone in here today who's having trouble forgiving their very own mother. And God wants to bless you today. God wants to set you free today. If you'd only let Him. Let Him remove the bitterness in your heart, the unforgiveness today. Let Him set you free today. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time. I know it was a rough message today for Mother's Day, and Lord, but it's your word. And you want us to walk out of here, not the way we came in. You want to give us that joy and that love and that peace in our hearts that only you can give with your agape love for us, that you want us to give to others. And although we kind of try to forget about those things, the reality is it's still deep down in our hearts. And we don't realize that it does affect us. And that's why John continually, you've impressed on his heart to write these words for us, to encourage us to love one another, to forgive as we have been forgiven. And so, Lord, whatever state we're in, whether it's someone who wronged us, someone who has abandoned us, someone who has broken our hearts, we ask that you would heal our hearts. and that your love would be perfected in us by allowing us to find love and forgiveness for others. Bless the mothers here today, we pray, once again, a special blessing upon them and for the rest of us as we go our way. We commit ourselves to you. Help us, Father. Help us, Lord. We know some of the sayings were tough, and many of the disciples walked away. But Jesus said to the 12, Jesus, you said to the 12, are you going to walk away too? And Simon Peter answered, Lord, where are we to go? You have the words of eternal life. Father, where are we to go? Help us, Lord. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Arigato.